Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. Today we have a great podcast. We usually have great podcasts, don't we, Danielle?
We always do.
Absolutely. But today we have a special guest, and that is Tina Staley. Tina is a highly accomplished author, therapist, clinical researcher, and gifted communicator who has dedicated her life to creating a more kind and productive world. Her vast experience and success spans almost three decades in the public and private sector, and has led to partnerships with top organizations such as the U.S. Naval Special Warfare Command, American Cancer Society, Duke Cancer Institute, the Colorado State Government, Boys and Girls Club, PBS World, the Aspen Institute, and more. Tina has created innovative psychosocial support programs for organizations nationwide, in addition to being the founder of Pathfinders, one of the most successful cancer programs on the western slope of Colorado, for nearly 20 years. On the research side, she has contributed to countless research articles and presentations across the world, in addition to authoring an award-winning book called Living Fully, Dying Well, and a TEDx presentation, The Perfect Last Day. Today, she leads kindness in action workshops nationwide, co-leads an innovative program, The Decade Game, creating a life by design, not default, and runs a successful private counseling practice with clients both in person and virtually. Good morning, Tina and Danielle. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Well, thank you.
Wonderful. Danielle, thank you so much for bringing Tina on the show today. What are we talking about?
I am so excited to have Tina here with us. She and I met last fall at a Lead with Love in Aspen event, and we're serendipitously paired together at a workshop with our previous podcast with Lynn Twist, and we got to know each other and did some money mindset conversations, and we really connected, and we've been talking about a lot of stuff ever since. So I'm excited to have you here today, Tina, to share your wisdom on this aging stuff.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here, and I've really appreciated our conversations and our friendship.
Today, we're going to be digging into your thoughts on, you know, aging well. You know, and so many times I think people, you know, I'm getting old somewhere down the road, but guess what? We are every day, the fact that we are taking another breath means that we are all aging. And I know you and I both have parents that we're walking alongside in this process. And you have chosen a profession where you are really diving into this topic. And I'm looking forward to these three steps in how we can do it well. The first step that we're talking about is, you know, again, working around that, creating an awareness. Can you pull that out and tease that out for us and what we're needing to look at as we create an awareness around aging?
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you speaking about awareness or mindfulness, like I call it, around the aging process, because I believe that with the new paradigm shift of how we're actually aging in America today and living longer, that we need to be conscious of particular stereotypes, conscious of our own core beliefs that we have picked up from possibly when we were young about how we viewed actually what we consider older people or aging. And today, so many of those, quote, stereotypes, not that they ever, you know, were applicable, but especially now, more than ever, we have to be conscious of these types of belief systems that society is telling us or that we're telling ourselves.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we watched either grandparents or maybe parents, or we have that old idea of, oh, maybe aging is just sitting on the porch and knitting or playing checkers or, you know, and I don't think that even really exists. I almost think that we've done a 180 to another extreme, at least for the go-go years of retirement and aging, is it's all about fun. It's all about, you know, travel. It's all about leaving the work world and self-indulgence. And I think, you know, we need to be cognizant of both those, I don't, you know, those outliers, that it is all about, you know, pain and suffering and losing our headspace and all of that, or the other extreme of, you know, it's all about me and having fun and, you know, getting away from everything that was involved with work. And there's some beauty in looking at where did those come from and how do we work through, is that true for us or what do we want to create? How do people, you know, focus on creating that awareness?
Well, you know, and I really think that, you know, for years, it's about retirement. It's about retirement, as if it's about fun and leisure, you know, of course, for those that can afford it. And I think that with aging comes a sense of responsibility, and a sense of responsibility in terms of who are we and what is our purpose? And now we have many, many more healthy years to live. And how do we want to live those years? And, you know, I often say, you know, a golf game might be good for 4 or 5 years or until you hurt your hand or your elbow or something. And then what do we do? So I think you're right. Where is that happy medium between taking responsibility, you know, living the best years as we, the best we can, and also not looking at aging as automatic declining, automatically no longer learning, not being productive in this world. So I think that there is a happy medium. And I like to say that I like to use the word third phase of life, because I really believe now that the aging is the third phase. And I look at what many people have the misconception of aging as, what I look at as elder care, those very last years where we really do need the hands-on nursing care. That's a long way in this third phase of life.
That is part of facing our fears. But it's not something that is tomorrow. It is something 20, 25 years, 30 years for most people. It's a long ways away.
Yeah, it is a very long way away. And so when you look at, you know, all of the myths that surround us around productivity, you know, around feeling like we're no longer important, feeling like we're no longer seen, those are true societal stereotypes. So we can't buy into it, but we also can't buy into our own core beliefs about feeling like we're not enough, feeling like we're not smart enough, like we're going to be left behind. And of course, the internet is a great example of, oh my gosh, I can't keep up, when actually 51% of individuals over the age of 65 are very active on the internet. So we're looking at all of these misconceptions that really have no true basis in our society today.
With these misconceptions, Tina, how do you work with folks to enter into conversation and open up those doors to talk about the aging process and creating an awareness of our misconceptions? Is it just asking people questions, or having a glass of wine and saying, how's the aging process going for you? How does that work?
Well, oftentimes, you know, I address it, especially for my individual clients, around their fears. because, you know, they're afraid of, you know, being left behind. They're afraid of, you know, becoming disabled. They're afraid of lack of social connection, productivity. So once we're able to look at the fears and actually be able to turn them around and even look at how true they actually are, then by dealing with that, that allows individuals now to be more present, to be able to start to get excited and look at what they can do in the aging versus what they can't do. And so it creates, by addressing the sort of elephant in the room, it actually ends up creating new opportunities and realizing that there are a lot of amazing things that they can still do in a lot of beautiful years.
That is that perfect segue into the second step of aging well, is recognizing what is within our control. And, you know, nowadays it just seems like so much is outside of our control. You know, what the markets are doing, what the weather's going to do today. I really believe that when people can create that awareness of where they're at in life, face their fears, have that accountability to what it means to them and them themselves, to themselves be true, you can start taking control of the things that you do have a say or potential to do differently. Can you talk about what type of things people can do to age as best possible?
Well, yes, I can speak to what they can do. And I'd also like to say that the preparing for aging starts at any age.
Yeah.
Because
we're all aging.
We're all aging. It can even start in your 20s and 30s, because what you do is actually preparing you for the future. And what I mean by that, okay, we all know in terms of exercising and eating right and you know, working your mind and all of those wonderful things that society has been very conscious of, especially in recent years. But there's also really looking at our mindset, whether it's a positive mindset or it's a negative mindset. And those individuals that have a pre-existing thought process around the glass is half full, you know, versus half empty versus half full, they have a harder time with aging. And those that have the negative thoughts, those that have the negative stereotypes, actually live 7.5 years less than those that do not.
Wow. And probably 7.5 years less, but the folks who are living longer are also living richer lives, and that purpose and meaning, they're probably able to fulfill that aspect a little bit more.
Right. And because it's all about what they choose to focus on, and how they are resilient at any age helps with how they are resilient in aging. And that means how you actually bounce back. It's not that things are not going to happen to us. Of course, we will be slowing down. Of course, there will be more health concerns. But it is our mindset around, okay, how do we deal with this, and how do we move forward in the best way possible?
Which circles back around to that creating awareness. It's just like these continuous circles of looking at, you know, if I had healthy examples in my life, I had an aunt, and we always joked, we're the same age. She was actually 40 years older than I was. But I, you know, as I watched her age, her mindset was always just absolutely amazing. She always had such a positive perspective on things. That speaks into how I'm going to handle things. So to look at, you know, who have been your role models for aging? What do you want to replicate? What might not be serving you as well? And what do you need to do to look at that you know, your opportunities for resiliency or creativity or, you know, relationship, and how do you want to build on wins?
Right, right. And that is the positive role models that you're seeing today, and we have more of them. We all like to talk about our aunt or our mother, and oh my gosh, they were 90 and they could still, you know, play the piano and they had so much life. And many times their circumstances of life weren't always positive, but it's what they chose to focus on. And I love that Grandma Moses, you know, really started her painting at 80, mm-hmm. you know, and that is not buying into, you know, an older mindset. That's buying into a, what can I do in the moment to be the greatest thing possible?
And I really appreciate, you know, looking at what is being created out there, just, you know, in the biking industry, if we can take a silly little example. But for those of us who love to bike, knowing that there may be a time down the road where we're not maybe able to get up those hills with the same energy and having to put more effort. And the fact that they now have e-bikes out, you can get out and you can still enjoy the outdoors. You can still be with your family and friends. It may take different forms, but the fact that you're staying engaged, you are still doing the things you love doing. And I think that's really exciting about the times we are living in, is there's a lot of creative people that are coming up with new ways of doing things to keep, you know, keep engaged and be productive and keep that social aspect, which is so important to keep people involved.
You know, and that really reminds me of something that I'm very aware of, and I feel passionate about, is, you know, feeling useful in this society. And I think one of the myths is that grandmothers can only be a grandmother to their biological children. Mm. And what we found now that is helping aging the most is this intergenerational connection and conversations and being with each other. So now in different types of you know, nonprofits across the country, whether it's, you know, shelters for, you know, abused women who bring their families, you know, whether it's young children suffering from different, maybe cancer or other types of diseases, grandmother programs are now being set up as a way of being able to give back, to give love to somebody that's not necessarily your biological child. Grandchild.
That's beautiful. I've also heard of internet programs where they're connecting up the wise elders of our society with teenage students, and, you know, gleaning that wisdom of the ages and that encouragement, that support for the youth nowadays who may not have those opportunities for those connections. And the internet has provided, you know, a whole new world for people to connect up, to speak into each other's lives. And it's a win-win situation. You know, you speak to the older folks who are involved in these programs, and they're saying, you know, we get as much or more out of our involvement with these teenagers. And, you know, and the kids say, you know, this has just been an amazing relationship. So it's a beautiful thing to look at the resources that we have to step into, to really connect with what can we do to age well. And then you talk about the third step is looking at our behavioral choices and choosing, whether it's that positive mindset or what kind of action steps you want to be taking. Can you speak a little bit more about, you know, these behavioral choices and the work you're doing with kindness in action?
Well, this really came to me with so many years of working with hospice and late stage cancer, where I really saw the one thing that cancer did provide is that opportunity to, if you had months or years, to be able to really get it right, to be the person that you were the most proud of. Because as Ira Byock often says, The three things, he's a great palliative care physician, and he says the three things that people ask themselves at end of life is, was I loved? Did I love back? And where did I make a contribution? So I believe that we all want to leave this world feeling like we mattered, feeling like we were not only productive, but that we actually were loved and were able to love. And how do you learn that? You know, they don't teach it to us in school. So, you know, my Kindness in Action program is really developing, you know, action steps and behaviors that when you do that, it really allows you to feel that sense of self-efficacy. You know, when you do an act of kindness, when you're present with others, when you flip those negative thoughts that we discussed earlier, you know, when you have the difficult conversations, whether it's aging or end of life, and you use gratitude and you acknowledge others and you have fun. So you do these practices every day. That is so much more than just the practice. It's allowing you to feel that your life mattered in terms of compassion, in terms of generosity, in terms of caring, all of those wonderful human traits that at the end of the day, you know, through the whole process, we really want to feel that we have and that we are. So this is very important to me from all the work that I've done in those last days of wanting to feel like you are leaving this world having been your best self. And I think once again, that's important in any age. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, when we speak about the grandmother programs, which are amazing, and we speak about all of these ways that we can make a contribution, so many people say, well, how do I do it? And I say, it starts in your everyday life.
Yep.
It starts when you go to the grocery store and you acknowledge the woman behind the counter and just smile or compliment or just make her feel like she matters. You know, it starts with, you know, calling a friend that isn't feeling well and saying, how are you? You know, it starts with looking around and what are we grateful for? Because these types of steps that I speak about around the kindness really is the turnaround for the stereotypes that we talked about. It's the turnaround for the fears. It's what we can do and what we can choose to focus on. And I just spent, you know, 2 weeks with my mother in a skilled nursing facility during the hurricane in Florida. And I really experienced a lot. And, you know, I walked out of there and she is in the elder care at 88. My dad at 91, I can still consider it in the aging. He's highly productive, but she needs help. And immediately the fears, oh my gosh, this could be me. Well, what will my life? Or all of those sort of beliefs that I'm experiencing at those very latter years. And I immediately go, wait a second. What can I control? I can try to love people the best way possible. I can connect with people. I can ask how they're doing. I can be grateful. I can practice taking care of myself. And when I started then to switch that mindset, I was no longer projecting into the future my fears, but it brought me back into the present.
That is beautiful. So that's that full circle of you with your behavioral choices and focusing on, you know, what can you do to create that positive change every day, taking those moments to, you know, like you said, have the difficult conversations, be fully present, embrace gratitude and live it out with your words, your actions, your looks when you're walking down the street at folks, I think is very powerful. It's taking that fear captive and it has no hold on you anymore. I think that the work that you're doing is incredibly powerful. It's incredibly needed. So many people think, you know, the aging process, it's many times it's just about, do I have enough, money? Do I have enough wealth to head into this and have a good time? And yes, we want to use our money wisely, but I think even more importantly, we want to use our mindsets, our attitudes, our behaviors, our beliefs, everything to look at this aging process differently than maybe what we have in the past or what our preconceived notions are. Create something that's going to really allow you to, like you say, live life by design, not default, and to take a look and say, what do I want to be remembered for? Who do I want to be remembered by? And that isn't about down the road. That's about today. As myself in my late 50s, I look at that, and at that gives me permission to make different decisions every day and make the most out of each day.
I know. And, you know, two words that just, you know, flash in my mind at any age after everything I've seen is, why wait?
Yep.
Why wait? Because all you're doing is putting, quote, money in the bank for the future. And you might not be doing it for that reason, but that is an amazing outcome.
Perfect. Well, as people look at not waiting anymore to become their best self today, to lead that life by design, how can they get a hold of you and find out more about your work, either speaking to groups or working with folks individually?
Yeah, you can reach me at tina@tinastaley.com, T-I-N-A-S-T-A-L-E-Y, or please go to my website, and it's www.tinastaley.com.
Great. Well, I really appreciate our time. I look forward to further conversations as we keep this conversation going, Tina. Appreciate all the work you're doing, and look forward to talking again.
And thank you so much for bringing a consciousness to this amazing topic of ageism.
Thank you both. I mean, I just sat here, and the wisdom that you guys shared and imparted, you have both been working with people for decades and decades, and I really appreciate being able to sit in on this session. I'll call it a session because it was almost like therapy for me. I mean, I'll just be honest. So I learned a ton, and thank you so much. Tina, thank you so much for being a great guest, and I wish you the best of everything, and I hope that every listener goes and checks out your website because I know you have a wealth of information there.
Thank you.
But, and thank you, Danielle, for bringing it. I mean, this is a wonderful guest.
Perfect. If people want more information about what we do here, they can check out wealthbydesign4letteru.com. Again, for that personal engagement in creating healthy financial lives as you enter into the rewirement season. You can also check out my speaking opportunities, my online e-course, some complimentary courses at DanielleHoward4letteru.com. We do have a complimentary Social Security download available at Wealth by Design for you. So check that out.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast with Danielle Howard. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And this is a great one to share. Tons of great information. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day, every day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, certified financial planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.